Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the first 1 1/4 juz was recited. The first surah of the Quran Sharif is Surah Fatiha. Fatiha means the opener. Surah Fatiha opens up the Quran Sharif. It is Asasul Quran. It is the crux of the Quran Sharif. It is the root of the Quran Sharif. And all the ulum of the Quran Sharif is found in Surah Fatiha. Ulama says there are three main themes in the Quran Sharif. And that is Tawheed, the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, Risalat, the messengership of Allah Ami alayhi salatu wasalam, and Akhirat, the life of the year after. And all of these three are mentioned in Surah Fatiha. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the crux of the Quran Sharif in Surah Fatiha. We can say like Surah Fatiha is the matan, is the text, and the explanation, the commentary of the whole of Surah Fatiha is the whole Quran Sharif. In Surah Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah is mentioning about his Tawheed and his oneness. Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning about Akhirat. And Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim Siratul Ladina Namta Alayhim is about Risalat. These three themes are found in the Quran Sharif over and over. So a person is asking Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for guidance, for righteousness. Some of the Sufiyah say that there are 7 means to reach Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, 7 different ways to reach Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And Surah Fatiha has got all of these 7 means. One, to reach Allah Ta'ala is Zikr. And they say the root of Zikr is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The second way to reach Allah Ta'ala is through Shukr. Shukr is found in Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The highest level of Shukr is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Then, to have hope in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That is found in Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. You have great hope in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This is also a means to reach Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. To have fear in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is also a means for a person reaching Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This comes from Maliki Yawmiddin. Then, to have ikhlas and sincerity in all our actions. That also is a means to reach Allah Ta'ala that comes in Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Then another means to reach Allah Ta'ala is dua. This comes in Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. The greatest dua a person can make is for hidayat, for the right to get rightly guided. So this is dua is taught to us in Surah Fatiha. So dua is a means to reach Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and one of the greatest duas that because to be on a straight path and to remain steadfast on the straight path is not difficult. It's not so easy, it's difficult. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, because istiqamah is such a difficult thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us minimum in our farz namazes, our witr namaz, 20 rakats a day, our sunnah al muakkad, another 12, 32 in Ramadan, another 20, minimum 52 rakats we are reading Surah Fatiha. So 52 times we are asking Allah ta'ala for hidayat, for steadfastness on the straight path, by ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. That is why this dua is so important. A person has to repeat it over and over again. So we are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last means to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is suhbat, company of the righteous and the pious. So this comes in Sirat al-Ladina Namta alayhim ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim wa al-dawalin. So anyhow, these are 7 doors to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of them are found in Surah Fatiha. So it is a very beautiful surah. Ulama have written in great detail. Imam Razi rahmatullah alayhi has written in Tafsir al-Kabir about 200 pages explaining the tafsir of Surah Fatiha alone. So there is so much of ulum and so much of knowledge just in Surah Fatiha itself. And he writes there that I can take out one person challenged me when I mentioned that I can take out 10,000 masail from Surah Fatiha. The person challenged me, so then I showed him, that's why I wrote this tafsiriyah of 200 pages, to show him that how I can take out 10,000 masail, and even much more masail I can take out just from Surah Fatiha. So what ulum is in the Quran Sharif, the depth of the Quran Sharif, the more a person will go, the person will understand it. Surah Fatiha is also called Surah al-Dua. It teaches a person how to make dua. It's also called Surah al-Shifa. It gives a person shifa, cure from physical sicknesses also. So a person, how much of yaqeen you need Surah Fatiha to remove sicknesses from a person's body. And it's also a cure for spiritual sicknesses. Imam Razi also has mentioned here the 7 spiritual sicknesses found in a person, like pride, arrogance, etc., riya. All of this is found in Surah Fatiha. The cure for it is found in Surah Fatiha. So it is Surah Al-Shifa. And many, many other names it has got also. May Allah give us tawfiq that you don't just read Surah Fatiha when you are performing our salah, but you ponder over the meaning. Some ulama say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that in the past we say all praises are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why is all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because we are muhtaj of Allah ta'ala in the past, in the present, and in the future. In the past, Rabbil Alameen. So we think, Allah, in the past when you created us, you created the whole universe, we were muhtaj of you. At the present, we are in need of your rahmat and your mercy, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And on the day of Qiyamah, we are in need of you will have full control, Maliki Yawmiddin. You have full control over the day of Qiyamah, you are the Malik. Hazrat Mulana Shaki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that Allah Ta'ala did not say Qadi Yawmiddin. Allah is the Qadi, Allah is the judge on the day of Qiyamah. Because the judge has to follow the rules of the country. Whatever the government says, Whatever the laws are, what's in the books, he has to follow that day. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Maliki yawm al-din. Allah is the Malik, the owner of the day of Qiyamah. Allah ta'ala can go against all the laws of the world. If a person has committed sins for hundreds of years, and Allah ta'ala says, I forgive you, Allah ta'ala can forgive a person. And on the other hand, if a person has worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one weakness is found in man, or if Allah ta'ala doesn't want to accept anything, Allah has got full right. Obviously, Allah is most merciful, most kind. But Allah ta'ala has got full control, and he can do whatever he wants to. So when a person understands this, then immediately a person realizes, I'm in need of Allah ta'ala in the past, in the present, in the future. So who else can I turn to? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Allah, we only can worship you, and we can only ask you for your help and assistance. Even our worship, we cannot do from our own power and our own strength. We need the help and assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after a person asks Allah ta'ala to worship Allah ta'ala, how are we going to learn to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We have to go on a straight path. And the straight path is the path of the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, the siddiqeen, the shuhada, the salihin, the pious and the righteous people. So we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance on that path. As the Muhammad Rahmi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, that ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, we are asking Allah ta'ala for guidance. So there are two means of guidance for a person. One is kitabullah and one is rijalullah. So here Allah ta'ala mentioned, Rijalullah, Sirat al-Ladina namta alim. This is Rijalullah, the men of Allah Ta'ala, they will take us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, Allah in the next surah means Zalik al-Kitab. You are asking for guidance, here's this kitab here. Zalik al-Kitab ula rayba fi, the Kitabullah, the book of Allah Ta'ala. So these are the two means by which a person will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person cannot only have Kitabullah without Rijalullah. This is actually the way of the Jews. They only held on Kitabullah and they left out the Rijalullah, the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are asking Allah Ta'ala protect them from that. And then on the other hand, we had the Christians. They only went to the Rijalullah, the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't worry about the Kitabullah, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the men of Allah ta'ala. These people, they broke the commands of Allah ta'ala. They didn't worry. But they said, we have to follow them. So Islam is a very balanced way. That you've got Kitabullah on one side, and you've got Rijalullah. And how will a person recognize Rijalullah? By looking at Kitabullah, the basic laws of Kitabullah is this man following it. If he is following it, then it means he's a man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we hold firm unto these two. By means of this, a person will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah is Surah Baqarah, the longest surah in the Quran Sharif, up to 40 rukus and 286 ayat, where in great detail Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the Jews. We are asking Allah for hidayat in the straight path, so Allah says, be careful of the Jews. So in this surah, in great detail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the Jews and the Bani Israel and all of the evils which were found in them. In the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Zalik al-Kitab. This is a kitab, la rayba fi. First, Allah starts with Haruf Muqattaat, Alif Lam Mim. Alif Lam Mim, who knows the meaning of it? Nobody knows the meaning of it. Something besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something besides Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to teach us that if you are Arab, you are non-Arab. The basic belief of Islam is Sami'ana wa ta'ana, we hear and you obey. I don't use my mind and my aqal and my intelligence and my understanding. I can't even understand the first words of the Quran Sharif, Alif Lam Mim. So to show that our brains are nothing at all, and wahi and revelation a person has to accept. Then Allah says, this is the kitab, la rayba fi. There is no doubt in the Quran Sharif at all. There is no doubt, so a person has to accept it. If there is doubt, the doubt is in you. Wa in kuntum fi raybin. If you are in doubt, the problem is with you. But the Quran Sharif itself has got no doubt at all. And it's a means of hidayat. For those people who want to get the quality of taqwa. Who are those who want to get the quality of taqwa? They've got five qualities in them. The Quran is hidayat for everyone. But who will take the benefit from it? These people. Number one, alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaib. Those who believe in the unseen. And this is the effort a person has to make, that we don't, as Hazrat mentioned, that seeing is believing, many people say, and hearing is deceiving. Whereas we learn that hearing is believing, and seeing is deceiving. What we see with our physical eyes, we have to negate that. And we are, whatever we hear from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, billahi wa malaikati, the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the angels. There's a physical system you can see outside, but there's a hidden system behind that. Then wa rusuli, the anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. One is you can see men, and one is you see the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his lifestyle, his tariqah. You have to believe in that. There are many, many books and different kinds of articles in the world, different kinds of knowledge. But it's the kitab. I believe in the kitab, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the life after death. Outwardly it seems when you die, you come to an end. But we believe in life after death. I will die, I have to be resurrected, stand up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we negate whatever we see with our eyes. And whatever the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam have told us, we believe in that. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. Second quality is we have to establish salah. Not only establish, perfect a person's salah. Iqamat means to make something straight. So a person has to make an effort on his salah. And this is حُقُوقُ اللَّهِ, the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. What Allah has given them, they are spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person has to, the hukukul rijal, hukukul nas, fulfill the right of people. So one is our aqidah has to be correct, and then we have to fulfill the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to fulfill the right of man. And this is what the whole Quran Sharif is explaining to us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the first quality is, they believe whatever has been revealed to you, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We cannot understand the Quran Sharif ourselves. We have to go through Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to accept the Quran Sharif. And all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam, what was revealed before to them, we believe in that. We don't follow that nowadays. It's abrogated, but we believe in it. And finally, وَبِالْ آخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. They have got yaqeen and conviction in the year after. And ulama say the opposite of yaqeen is shak, to have doubt. It's not just a person just to believe in akhirat, but he must have yaqeen and conviction in the akhirat. There mustn't be the slightest amount of doubt in a person's heart. This is the five qualities of the people of taqwa, the people of piety. Allah says they are on the right path and they are the successful people. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the people of kufr and disbelief. What is their qualities? Two ayat. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in great detail in 13 verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the qualities of the munafiqs, the hypocrites. And why is this? Two reasons. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to recognize who are the hypocrites. These qualities will come till Qiyamah, they will be the hypocrites in the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as one of the great imams of who the Shias regarded as the imam, but he was the great imam of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. Most likely it was Imam Ja'far Sadiq rahmatullah alayhi. He said, if you want to look in the Shias, every quality found in the Quran Sharif regarding the munafiqeen are found in the Shias. They've got all of these qualities, speaking lies, which they call taqiyah, and in their heart there is a sickness. Allah decrees them in the sickness of muta and committing adultery in the name of Islam. And when he said to them, do not cause fasad in the earth, do not cause trouble in the earth, they say, no, we're only trying to cause goodness in the earth. But they are the ones who are causing great fasad, great trouble, but they do not even recognize it. As the ulama says that the only people who fought against the Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jamaat is the Shias. And to make jihad against the kuffar, this was never found among the Shias. The biggest jihad they always made was against the Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jamaat. And when he said to them, believe like how the people believe, like how the Sahaba radiallahu anhu believed, they asked, must you believe like how the foolish people believe? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, listen, they are the foolish people, but they do not even know. And when they come to the people of Iman, they say, we believe. But when they go to the kuffar and the disbelievers, they say, we are with you people. We were just joking with the believers. So this is the taqiyah, the false the beliefs which they've called kitman, they've called all of the different beliefs. And they make a mazak and a joke of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these people will be completely destroyed. Until Qiyamah, whichever batil groups, wrong groups come out, if a person studies this ruku of the Quran Sharif, he will be able to find the usuls and principles of these people, what wrongs they have got, and how can a person save himself from them. Then after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three vital questions which every person must ask himself. The first question which every person has to ask himself is, why have I come in this world, or where have I come from? And the second question which a person has to ask himself is, that what am I doing here in this world? This is something natural which every person asks. And the third question is, where am I going to? So where have I come from? What am I doing here? And where am I going to? So in this ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all three, answers all three questions. Three fundamental questions which every human being has to ask himself. Where have I come from? I have come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who created me. And not only me, Allah created my forefathers. And what is the purpose of coming in this world? U'budu rabbakum. To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by worshipping of Allah ta'ala, la'allakum tattaqoon. To get the quality of taqwa within myself. To get a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why I've come in this world. What is the means of getting this here? How am I going to do this here? He said, Allah ta'ala has sent the Quran. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ. I've sent you a miracle. The Quran Sharif. A mu'jiza. A great miracle. If you've got any doubt about it, you bring another Quran like this. It's impossible. You will never be able to find another kitab like this here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, bring the whole world together. And you try to bring a kitab like the Kitabullah. It's impossible to find so. So this is the second answer. That to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means which the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam has taught us. And the third question is, where am I going to eventually? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there's one of two groups you are. You're either going to Jahannam, which has been prepared for the kuffar and disbelievers, or give glad tidings to the people of Iman, that Allah has prepared Jannat for them. What and what bounties are in Jannah? They will live there forever and forever. So these are the great bounties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the people of Iman. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the next ruku about the angels. When Allah created human beings, the angels had a bit of doubt. An objection that, oh Allah, why are you creating human beings? We can see the madda, the quality within them, that they will cause fasad in the earth. They've got so much of anger in them, and they've got so much of shahwat in them, and desire in them. And with the shahwat and desire, they will commit zina, they will commit adultery, they will fall in love with women, and do so much of wrong things. And with anger, they will become violent, and they will kill people, and so much of harm they will cause. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they say, we are praising you all the time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why don't you leave us as the Khalifa of the earth? Allah said, you do not know what I know. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, gave him knowledge and the ability now, intellect, to choose between right and wrong. This was given to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Now with the qualities which within him, quwwat ash-shahwiyah, the desires within a person could actually reach the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with this quwwat al-ghadabiyah, this anger, he will be able to defend the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fight the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the highest form of jihad, where a person actually will give his life defending the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the angel, when eventually they realize that what sifat and qualities are in human beings, only these qualities are in human beings, now he has to learn with the knowledge of deen and the sohbat of the buzruganity in the awliya Allah, a person has learned how to control these desires, how to control his anger and bring it onto the right path. The quwwat al-shahwiyah is the quality to do goodness to a person, is bringing them to the right path. And what the ulama say is, izala maqsood nahi hai, imala maqsood hai. The object is not to destroy these qualities. You've got too much of shahwat and desires in you. It's just to change the direction towards the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you've got too much of anger in you, just to change the direction towards getting angry for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyhow, the angels eventually realize this here. Then they made this sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam because they realized the great knowledge which Allah Ta'ala was giving to him and the ability of him to bear this knowledge. But Iblis, our enemy, he was not happy at all. And he made an effort to remove Adam alayhi salatu wasalam from Jannah. He gave him false promises. Eventually Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he made tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also had to learn because he will make a mistake in this world. So Allah Ta'ala taught him in Jannah already, you'll make a mistake, you'll fall down, you must make tawbah. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam immediately accepted his weakness and he made tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala forgave him. Thereafter Allah forgave him. His forgiveness was already in Jannah. Then Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was told, now, ihbitu mina jamia, come down now into this world. You were supposed to come down, you are my Khalifa on the earth. If you make mistakes, always my door of tawbah is open. And you have to become the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the surface of the earth. And those who will accept my hidayat, I will send down guidelines for you people throughout. Different kitabs I will send down. Whoever will do this here, there is no need for that person to fear. He won't be in any grief. But those people unfortunately who are not on that path, they will be the people of Jahannam. And they will remain in there forever and forever. Thereafter, in great detail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the Bani Israel, the great bounties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to them. What and what bounties Allah had given to them. And how Allah ta'ala destroyed Fir'aun. And then Allah gave them manna and salwa. And so many bounties. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all the evil qualities of the Bani Israel. That despite getting all of these bounties, they were supposed to have made shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they didn't make shukr. They became ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we also must ponder. Allah ta'ala is teaching us. Number one, that I'm giving you many bounties. You must think about the bounties which Allah has given you and make shukr and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not become like the Bani Israel. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Some parts, portions of the kitab you believe in, some portions you disbelieve in. The person who does that, from our desire, the punishment of that person is, he will get khizyun, this grace in this worldly life. And in the year after, he will be given a very severe punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in great detail. And the second reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this is the Bani Israel, the Jews, they are our enemies. So a person should be very careful of the Jews, because as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حَذْوَ النَّعْلِ بِالنَّعْلِ. A person will follow the Jews and the Christians step by step, closer to Qiyamah. So much so, if one of them has to commit incest with his mother, there will be one person in my ummah also who will try to commit incest with his mother. So we have to be very careful of the Jews and the Christians, that to follow their way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here also, that do not take them as your friends. And they want that you must accept their way. You must follow their ways. وَالْتَكَثِيرُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا. They wish that they can return you back after your iman into kufr and disbelief. They've got jealousy in their heart, and the truth is open to them, but they are not prepared to accept it. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the Jews and the Christians. They all feel they are on the right path, but they are not on the right path. The right path is the part of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the father of Tawheed. And people said, كُونُ هُدًا وَنُصَارَ تَحْتَدُوا. Become a Jew or a Christian, you will get hidayat and guidance. Tell them, never ever. Well, millata Ibrahim Hanifa, we follow the path of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And what is the path of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? Through Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَأُنزِلَ إِلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ. Allah ta'ala mentions the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this ayat actually in Fajr namaz, in our sunnat namaz, it is sunnat also to read قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ in the first rakat of our Fajr salah. This was a normal practice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And قُلْ وَاللَّهُ وَحَدٍ in the second rakat of our sunnat namazes. And another sunnat also is, we can read this ayat, قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ in the first rakat of our Fajr sunnat namaz. Sometimes you should read that also, if a person is hafiz of Quran especially. And in the second rakat, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالُوا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ, which also shows the tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So generally, it was the habit of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ in the first rakat, and Qul Huwallahu Ahad in the second rakat, but occasionally we can read something else also, but this is also a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to read this here. So in the morning, the first thing we are doing is, we are having worrying about the tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about two great anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam, and especially at the time of death, the wasiyat which they gave to their children, and they were worried about their children. Who will you worship after I leave you? They said, you will only worship one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the greatest worry a parent must have for his children is, his child must remain steadfast on tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is the key to Jannah. And in today's time with the educational system, and Darwin's theory of evolution being taught in our schools, universities, etc., personally, we have great fear and concern for our sons and our daughters, sending them to these places, they're losing their iman. How many of them, they don't even know. Sometimes a person is studying these things, he thinks I've got iman. He's coming to the masjid also, he's performing salah. As it's coming to certain hadith, you will sometimes get a whole masjid full of people of performing salah, but none of them will have iman in them. So they might be thinking they've got iman, but actually they have lost the iman because of having wrong beliefs, beliefs of kufr and disbelief. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding. In the next quarter, was also recited last night in Taraweeh Salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the important masala of the Kaaba. It was changed from Masjid Al-Aqsa towards the Qibla in Makkah Mukarramah, Kaaba Sharif. And ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was teaching us that we have to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not our own understanding. Following, facing Baitul Maqdis is such a great thing. But even facing a certain direction, it's not the command of Allah. Without the command of Allah ta'ala, it's not accepted in the court of Allah ta'ala. Fasting now in the month of Ramadan, if I decide to fast 20 hours, I start my fast 10 hours before, but I break my fast 10 minutes before iftar time, it won't be accepted in the court of Allah ta'ala. Another person fasts 12 hours exactly on time, he's following the command of Allah ta'ala, he's successful. A person wants to perform salah the whole day, even the while time he's performing salah, it won't be accepted in the court of Allah ta'ala. So even salah is not the object in itself. The object is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasting is not the object in itself. Fasting is the command of Allah ta'ala. We have to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's follow the sunnah tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that lies our success. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.